Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much for having an open heart to this. You know, right now we might look at our children and say, oh, those are cute prayers, but we're raising up a generation of forerunners that's going to see a day and an age that we are not going to be here for. And their prayers are going to be mighty because they've been praying since the time they were 2 and 3 years old. And that's part of our plan to have them in here, is we don't want to just entertain our children. We want to raise up mighty warriors, arrows that we're sending forth into the future. So something we forgot to say is that for you kiddos out there, we have a special reward jar. And if you are meet the expectations and your parents feel like you've done the best that you can do today, they will be able to come up and get a reward for you at the end of the service. So you know, you do your best and you try to listen with your ears, and we listen best when our mouths are closed, okay? So right now, I'm just going to pray again, just because it never hurts to pray more. So, Father God, you know, Lord, I just pray that your heart would be communicated today, that we would have a vision of the way that you view children, that your heart would be released, Lord God, in this congregation, that not only the fathers and the mothers, but everyone in this congregation would have your heartbeat for children. We thank you for who you are. We pray that your Holy Spirit would just speak right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, we're actually going to do something I don't think we've ever done in Forerunner Fellowship. We are going to show a video. So cut the light. Cue the Jeopardy music. Thank you.
不要让我们迷失。
อย่าปล่อยให้หนูหลุดมือไปนะคะ
You're losing us.
Не поможете.
А по мне корео.
You're losing us.
Вы нам то поможете?
Да поможем.
Мы идем огоменанде.
Не теряйте нас.
Somos la esperanza de la iglesia.
Да,
пожалуйста,
крап.
Но нас видно. Don't lose us.
I want to go straight into just the heart of God. You know, the last scripture in the Old Testament is the scripture that says, turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers. And then for hundreds of years, silence until Jesus comes on the scene. And this is what Jesus said. He said, truly I say to you, this is in Matthew 18, by the way, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned into the in the depth of the sea. Then down in verse 10, it says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does not he leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than one over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. We always hear that parable about the lost sheep and we think, oh, the prodigal son, and we never think of it as being children. But really, in the scripture, he's got a child with him. He's called up this little kid, Josiah, come up here. And he said, unless you can become like this, unless you can humble yourself to be like this, you can't be in my kingdom. He said, unless you can receive one of these and not despise this one, you can't be in my kingdom. Right now, we're facing a time in history where our kids are being murdered by our kids. I mean, just go look on the news, okay? If we don't raise up these little ones to have a fear of the Lord, and to walk in power, it's not good enough that we give them stories, Bible stories. It's not good enough that we put them in a back room and say, okay, now you go listen to your lesson and mommy and daddy are going to get fed real food. Now, you know, Brett and I are over the children's ministry and we are doing the best that we can to feed them spiritual. You can go sit down, Bob. To feed them what they can grasp. And we really do believe that they can grasp much more than the world at large thinks that they can. But I'm going to tell you, I grew up in the church, and I can't remember the name of a single children's church pastor that I had. I can't remember a single children's church minister. I'm sorry for all of you people who serve in children's ministry. Our kids will probably not remember you, but they will remember their parents. And what I remember as a child growing up is my dad saying to me over and over and over and over again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is the first commandment with the promise that you shall live a long life. And my parents had this understanding that they could invest in me spiritually and they could give me scripture and I could understand it. And that's what we need to be doing. This Family Sunday is not about, you know, you having to suffer through a service where you can't get you know, your kids to behave or listen. It is about training up and say, putting it in the forefront of your mind. And I just want to say, I know every parent in here, and I know that you guys are doing an awesome job raising your children. But we're going to be getting more parents one day. And, you know, in our culture, it's not normal to value children. It's not the norm. So, you know, what we're doing right here is we're setting the stage and we're saying children are important. They have a place in the kingdom of God. They are as much a member of this family, of this body, as anybody else. And we have to get God's heart. We have to get God's heart for our children. And so, you know, I'm not going to talk much longer because my husband has to come up and talk. But I just want to take this time and instead of talking your ear off, let the Lord really speak to you. And if you don't have children right now, I want you to take this time and ask the Lord about your future children. Okay? So what we're going to do is I just want you to ask God, what do you think about my children? How do you feel about my children? Let him speak to you about the arrows that are in your hand right now and where he wants those arrows to go. In Psalm 127, it talks about children being arrows in the hands of a warrior. And we're sending those arrows forth. And they are the true forerunners. We call ourselves Forerunner Ministry, Forerunner Fellowship. But really, it's our children who are the forerunners. If we're the forerunners, they're going to be the vanguard. They're going to be right there. And we're paving the way for them, for these little ones, that Jesus said, don't keep them from me. Don't you dare keep them from me. So we're going to cue the music, and I just want you to ask the Lord, Lord, look into the eyes of your children and say, Lord, how do you feel? How do you feel about this kid? What do you want him to grow up to be? If you don't have children, ask the Lord, Lord, tell me about my children. What do you want them to be? And we're just going to get quiet right now. And as you hear the Lord speaking, I want you just to pray those things over your children. Begin to invest in them and say, this is your destiny. This is your calling. This is what I feel like the Lord is leading you to.
Come to me. Come to me. I have a ring for your finger. Don't let the past come between us.
Don't you run to the arms of another. They won't love you like I can love you. Don't you know I am a jealous God? Yeah, I am a jealous God. So come to me when you're not sure how you feel. When the idols start calling, into their arms you're falling. Don't you run to the arms of another. I will hold you, I am able to lead you beside the still and living waters. I set a feast upon the table, oh, I am a jealous lover. No one can love you like I love you. So come to me.
Thank you, Amy. That was good. If you don't feel comfortable, that's okay. But just by a show of hands, anybody hear the Lord say anything to them about their children? That's good. Anybody hear the Lord say something about their children that surprised you, that you'd not thought of, that you'd never heard of? All right. Well, Brad and Amy Stroop aren't here, but this is being recorded, so I'm going to say, you know, I want to thank Brad for just this opportunity to come and speak to all of y'all, for Amy and me. you know, it's been about 2 years or so since the last time we were able to speak, right when we were launching Forerunner Fellowship. And a lot's happened in 2 years. We've, you know, grown a lot. Our children's ministry has grown a lot. And when we spoke before, it was, you know, a lot about casting the vision for how, you know, we felt the Lord leading us to, you know, lead the children's ministry and to lead Family Sunday. And you know, we know Proverbs 29:18 talks about, you know, that where there is no vision, the people perish, or the people cast off restraint. And so that was really the big thing that, you know, Brad and Amy, and speaking to Amy and I, really wanted us to come and just refresh the vision in all of our hearts, renew the vision in all of our hearts for our children and for Family Sunday. You know, I know we've probably already mentioned it, I think, 10 times in this service, but, you know, it just is so... It's just the word of the Lord to Amy and I, and that's the Malachi 4 word. Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send the prophet Elijah, and he will, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a curse. And Lenny LaGuardia, who is the director of the Children's Equipping Center at IHOP KC, he spoke to us, or he, Amy and I had gone to a CEC conference back 2.5 years ago, which parents and future parents, I highly recommend do that. And actually for that particular conference, I think the Saturday night service that we went to as a part of the conference, Lenny made a special request to Mike Bickle to speak on Malachi 4, 5, and 6 again, because Mike had spoken on it years ago before Lenny was even in children's ministry, and it pierced his heart. The word he used is a plumb line. That verse, that passage, is the plumb line that he and his wife Tracy use for the CEC, and it's the plumb line that Amy and I use for the children's ministry, and it's the plumb line that we use for our family, and it's the plumb line that we encourage all of you parents and parents-to-be to use for your family. You know, it for Amy and me, it guides all that we do as a part of the children's ministry. Like Amy, you know, mentioned, you know, we as the children's pastors and the leaders of the children's ministry, you know, we do the best we can, and the Lord is good to us with the hour a week, 3 to 4 weeks a month that we get. But yes, we want to facilitate the children of this body, the children of this congregation growing in the Lord, but more than anything is we want to encourage and we want to facilitate the parents and parents-to-be in this body to have a heart for their children, to seek the Lord for their children, and to raise them up. I want to share something that I discovered about this Malachi 4 passage a while back, and when it just kind of was like one of those eureka light bulb moments. When I did, I fell in love with this passage, and I fell in love with the Father heart of God all over again. Because not only, here's kind of the, as I felt it was a secret until I realized it, not only does this passage talk about our hearts turning to our children and theirs to us, but the very structure of the passage reveals the Father heart of God. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. If I'd been better prepared, I'd have an awesome PowerPoint to kind of visually diagram this, but if you have your Bibles, please open them up to Malachi 4 so that you can see this as I'm talking about it. So I said the structure of this passage reveals the Father heart of God. And I'm gonna explain that. So the first word, the very first word in verse 5 is behold. Behold, it basically is like look, pay attention, hey, pay attention. Then it says what God's going to do. I'm going to send spirit of the prophet Elijah, the time frame that I'm going to do it in, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and then the way I want you to respond. Fathers, turn your hearts to your children. Children, turn your hearts to the fathers. And if you don't, here's the consequence, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So, like I said, this kind of just had a light bulb moment on me a while back. And the reason it did is because as Josiah, you know, is getting older, he, you know, was 3, 3 and a half, now he's 4 and everything. This, the structure of this passage is the exact same way that we are training him up and that we're teaching him. That word behold, that look, that pay attention. Whenever I have something that's very important or very serious, I make him stop whatever he's doing. I say, come here, look at me so I know that I have your attention, so that I know you're listening. I say, look. And then I tell him what I'm going to do. You know, as an example, we'll say it's picking up toys before bed. So I'm going to give you a chance to pick up your toys before bed. Then I give him the time frame. You have 10 minutes to do it. And here's what I want you to do. Get all your toys picked up and put away before you go to bed. And here's the consequence. And if you don't, I'm going to have to give you a spanking. It's the exact same structure. The way that I train and discipline and raise him up is the exact same way the Lord worded this passage. It's the father heart. And like I said, for me, when I had that light bulb moment, it just reignited my heart for God and for my children again. I mentioned earlier about the reason why Malachi 4, or why fostering the reality of Malachi 4 is more important to Amy and I than, you know, doing what we can to grow and teach the children. When we were at that CEC conference, Lenny's wife, Tracy, told this story about they had had a situation where they had for the CEC there, or maybe it's only for like conferences, I don't know. But anyway, they have a cutoff on when the parents can bring the children to the CEC, so that they don't have to, you know, deal with the distractions of like a stream of children coming in, you know, over a 30-minute period. They have a cutoff time. And this particular parent, you know, came after the cutoff time. It was even like a member of the community, somebody that she knew really well. They were friends and everything. And, you know, the parent was like, you know, please, can you make an exception and everything? And she held her gun. She said, no, we have this rule for a reason. You know, I'm really sorry. You know, I love you, but no. And a little while later, like 10, 15 minutes later, she had to go from the children's area over to another area to get something, I think. And as she was on her way in the session or in the service or whatever, she had to walk through. They were in a time of worship, and she saw that father with his son on his shoulders, and they were just lost in worship. And she said she watched the son glory in his father, glorying in his father. And that moment, just like Amy was talking about, you know, she remembers what her dad and what her parents taught her growing up. That moment, because it was that boy's father, will stick with him so much longer than whatever Tracy and her team could have done in that time of children's ministry. That's why fostering Malachi 4 is so important to Amy and I. It's crucial to us. Because what you can do as parents, and again, I'm not just speaking to those of you that are parents now, but those that are parents-to-be, what you can do as parents of your children is so much more impacting and so much more powerful than what we can do as pastors and what we can do as ministers. Why? Because you are that child's parent. You are that child's parent on purpose. You were chosen. You were called. by God Almighty to be the parent of that child and that child and that child. As parents, we can so easily fall into the minimizing thinking, that's just our kid. No, that's God's child, and you were given the privilege of stewarding over them in this life. Matthew 25:14-15 is the parable of the talents. You can turn there if you want. I'm going to read it. Just the very beginning of it. This is Jesus talking. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey." I want to challenge us. The parable of the talents isn't just talking about the people, the peers that you might lead to the Lord. It's not just talking about the resources the Lord might give you in influence and in time and in friends and finances. The parable of the talents is also talking about the influence that he gives you as parents over your children. And just as the servants in the parable of the talents were later called to give an account, we will be called to give an account for what we did with the time and the energy and the attention that we were given for our children. And I want to challenge us, let us not be people who hear from the Lord on that day that we wasted the first however many years of our children's lives because we didn't know what his word says. We didn't know that his word says, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. His word says, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if they understand. To see if they seek God, the children. He looks to see if the children are seeking God. Let us not, that we don't know that the word says that the children are explicitly listed amongst those to gather for solemn assembly in Joel 2. Passage I think most of us are really familiar with. But again, he says, gather the infants and the nursing children for the solemn assembly. To ward off the destruction. I don't know, for those of y'all that were around when a few months back when we were doing the solemn assembly time, when we were doing the services of the prayer meetings for 2 hours crying out for God, those of y'all that were around, I don't know if you know who all might have seen this and who all remembers, but there was a couple of those where Josiah, who was 3 and a half at the time, was just as engaged and just as, like, on his face crying out to God as the rest of us. And the reason for that, amongst other things, is because it was either the first or second week we came in, the services started, you know, we were in worship and we were crying out, and I knelt down next to him and I said to him, "Hey, bud, do you understand what's going on?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, what we're doing is we're praying to God, and we're crying out to him because we're sad. We're sad that there's more of him than we have. There's so much more of God than what we're getting right now, and we want that more. We want more from him. We want the fullness, and we're sad that we don't have it." And he thought about it for that first time that I said that to him. He thought about it for a minute, and then about a minute later, he's walking around going, at 3 and a half years old, with just as much passion and vigor and fire as any one of us adults. How did that happen? Did that happen just by accident? Did that happen just by he's growing up in this community, he's just kind of exposed? No. it happened because from the time he was not even a month old, I want to say he was maybe 2 weeks old, we've been intentional about exposing him to this lifestyle and training him in it. We were, from the time that he was 2, 3, 4 weeks old, we had him in prayer meetings at the prayer room. And so that's what his eyes, when he was a 1 month old, a 2 month old, a 6 month old, his eyes watched prayer meetings. His eyes watched worship in the word meetings and intercession meetings and devotional meetings. And, you know, we'd be at home and put on the IHOP web stream. And we, you know, we'd be at home and we'd take moments, we'd find moments to just pull him aside and explain to him about what it means to love God and what it means to follow him and what it means to be a forerunner, what it means to be an intercessor. We've been intentional about it. And in doing so, we have set this lifestyle, we have set this as normal for him. This isn't radical to him, this is normal. We need to recognize that whether we realize it or not, in the first 4, 5, 6 years, we are establishing normal for our children. One way or another, intentionally or unintentionally, whatever we do or don't do, we're establishing what is normal for them. You know, I think about it, it's kind of like, you know, for most of us, I think, we growing up as children, we had some kind of traditions, whether it was Thanksgiving or Christmas or birthdays or summer. You know, it was like every summer we always went to the beach for, you know, 2 weeks, or every Thanksgiving we always went to grandma's, or, you know, we have those traditions. Am I right? Who had, you know, traditions that you just knew? Christmas, this is what we're doing. Thanksgiving, you know, those kinds of things. And there's no question about it. Because those traditions were established from when we were young, most of them. And even, how many know this experience? Like, even as you get older and whatnot, and like that first year, that Thanksgiving wasn't at grandma's, it was weird, right? And it was like, something's not right, you know? Or the first year that there weren't the sweet potatoes with the marshmallows, I was like, no, something's wrong. This is not Thanksgiving until we have the sweet potatoes with the marshmallows. And, you know, and it's that thing. It gets in our hearts. It gets in our spirits when it started from very, very young. There was another video that Amy and I thought about playing, but we decided against it. That's kind of a promo for the CEC, but we wanted to show it just because it's a lot of, you know, sharing the heart of this, and even, you know, some of the kids that have been in it for a couple of years talking about what it's like, you know, to grow up in that culture and in that environment. In that video, Mike Bickle, he gives his comment. He talks about for this generation that, you know, they at IHOP and the CEC, and that we want to do here, the generation that is, you know, growing in the Lord from zero, you know, that they are like wet cement, and that the Lord, when we do this and when we expose them and when we train them from when they're 0, 1 month, 6 months, 2, 3, 4 years old, the Lord can just draw in that cement. And as they, you know, as they age, that cement hardens and they will hold it, and they will not be easily moved as they grow, as they become teenagers and young adults. And you know, the thing about that is, again, whether we like it or not, whether we realize it or not, there's nothing we can change about it. As they age, they get that hardening gradually happens from 0 to 1, a little bit, from 1 to 2, a little bit, 2 to 3, a little bit, you know, every year that hardening happens. And so the earlier we can touch them, the earlier we can train them, the earlier we can impact them, the easier it will be, because the cement is still wet. I don't know. I really like this analogy. I don't know about concrete and cement. I don't know if anybody has ever like watched cement like being poured and smoothed out and whatnot. One of the tools that concrete layers use is this tool. It's called a float. and it's a very, very smooth piece of stone, like magnesium or something. I mean, it's ridiculously smooth. And they just wipe it back and forth over the cement to gradually, you know, make it smoother and smoother until it's just the right consistency that they like. And because the cement's still wet, they're able to, you know, do it with very little effort. I mean, it's almost no effort and everything, and just really gets it nice and smooth. It's a lot different from a jackhammer. And you tell me, which would you rather the Lord use on your heart? Something that's just smooth, very little effort, or that? I'd rather use the smooth, little effort. And I'd rather use the smooth, little effort on my children as well. Another thing that we need to realize is that if we wait, if we lose, you know, those first few years, those first 4, 5, 6 years, we potentially miss out on a very crucial time of that concrete setting. And, you know, the Malachi passage, as well as many others in the Bible, talk about the great and terrible day of the Lord, the great and terrible day of the Lord. Well, there's a special season I've learned in rearing children that I call the great and terrible season of why, where they're about 3, 4, 5 years old and everything is why. We're going to do this. Why? You need to do this. Why? You know, everything is why. And in your flesh, that can, you know, you can start saying, ugh, just do it, you know, but for raising our children to know the Lord deeply and to know them well, the season of why is awesome, because that why is like the cement. The more we can answer those why questions now, the harder they will hold on to those truths. The more strongly those truths will stick in their heart as they get older, as they become teenagers and young adults. Because, you know, we all know, I think, you know, we all know, we retain things, we hold on to things better when we have a reason behind it, when we have a purpose behind it, when we have a why behind it. There was, in to illustrate this, a couple years back, I'd heard about some psychology department did this study where they gathered up, you know, I don't know, like 50 people, and they paid them all $10 to dig holes, like all in a row. And so they got done, you know, after whatever, 4 hours, they got done digging their holes, and the people leading the study came back and said, okay, now fill them back in. And so they filled them back in. And the next day, they paid them $20 to do it. And they said, all right, you know, dig up these holes. And then they, you know, came back later, all right, fill them back in. And the next day, they paid them $30. And the very interesting thing was that even though they paid them more each day, by like 5, 6, 7 days, like nobody was showing up anymore because it had no purpose. It had no purpose to them. There was no why behind it. And so even though the monetary payback was increasing, because there was no purpose, they, you know, their hearts are like, I've got something way better to do with my time, you know. And it's the same thing. If we can give them purpose, if we can give them reasons behind the things that we want to train them in seeking the Lord, in growing in prayer, in growing in fasting, in growing in prophecy, in growing in the disciplines and the gifts of the Lord, if we can give them a why, they will hold on to it so much better. If we miss the window, can we do it? You know, I mean, can we still train them? Well, sure, afterwards. It's going to be a little more work because, again, that concrete's a little harder, you know. But that's where you know, there is this kind of myth about, you know, I've heard some people say anyway, and again, like Amy said, the parents in this congregation, we love, and y'all are doing an awesome job. So not talking about y'all, but I've heard in other situations, people say, oh, I'm going to wait till they're a little bit older. It'll be easier to explain it to them. It'll be easier to train them, you know, in reading the word. And I'm like, you say it's easier, but it's really not, because if you give them the first 4 years of just parking in front of the computer and watching videos, then explaining to them why reading the word is important at four and five, it's going to be hard to retrain that heart. You know, it's like Josiah. I mean, it was a little broken, him coming up and praying for us, but he had the heart. Like all service, he's been like. Like when Amy came up to do ministry time earlier, he thought that was the time, and he got upset at me because I wouldn't let him come up and pray for Amy. I'm like, no, it's not time yet. It's not time yet. He has the want to. You know, it's like, well, what if we had waited with Josiah? You know, what if we had? He's 4 years old. Look at his testimony at four. You know, what's it gonna be when he's 8 or 10 or 20? He's gonna be rocking. Ava, Harper. They're going to have amazing testimonies in 10, 20 years. And was it easy going to produce this fruit? No. Goodness, no. You know, it's sometimes hard. It's sometimes really hard. But you know what? This is what I realized a couple weeks back in thinking and preparing for this message. We have this perception in our culture and even in our church culture, you know, about you can't do this. It's impossible. It's really hard, or, you know, whatnot. And I got to thinking about it. Really? It's like any other skill that we teach them, you know? In teaching our children how to walk, is it perfect the first time? No. Does it just happen? You know, no. Do we wait till they're four? No. You know, it's just like walking, reading, potty training, you know? There's lots of getting it wrong. There's lots of tears on both the children's and the parents' parts. There's lots of accidents before they start getting it right. And even then, it doesn't go from 0 to 100. You know, it's not like their first steps, they just start running because they got the walking thing down. No, they take a couple steps, they fall. The next time they take a few more steps, they fall. The next time, you know, I mean, we know this. Little by little, they get it more and more. And one day, we don't have to carry them everywhere. And they can read stories to us instead of us having to read them to them. One day we don't have to change dirty diapers. Amen. One day we won't even have to wipe. In the same way, one day, if we're diligent and intentional from the time they are 0, we're going to have a group of young people moving in signs and wonders. You know, this is doable, you know, parents-to-be, this is doable. You can do this, you know. Amy and I and the Lee team are here to help. We've been talking and coming up with new ways that we're going to, you know, new resources and new things we're going to do to try to help equip you to training your children. Like I said earlier, you know, each of us, by the very fact that we were given this child, given that child, we're called to be that child's parent, that child, that specific one, that unique one. And, you know, that's not the only thing we've ever been called to, right? I mean, you know, we've been called to be intercessory missionaries. We've been called to be pastors. We've been called to, you know, certain vocations. We've been called to certain locations, you know. And in every one of those instances, did the Lord just say, here you go, you're an intercessory missionary, and that's it? No more instruction, no more revelation? No. The Lord is good and faithful if we'll seek him to speak to us for our children. That's what, you know, Amy had us do earlier, seeking the face of God for the heart for our children. And I want to take it even a step further, because now that Amy and I, we have multiple children, we know we can't parent them the same way. We can't train them in the Lord the same way. And so we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to speak to us that wisdom and revelation for that specific child, because it's going to be a little different than it was for that child. We have to be diligent. We have to keep seeking. I just have one more thing, and then I'll wrap up. When Amy was pregnant with Josiah, I did something that I did out of desperation, but in retrospect, I realized it was one of the wisest things that I could have done, and I didn't realize that. Because the Lord's been faithful to it, and that was my prayer. Every time I prayed, every time I was in a prayer set where we had a time of like personal ministry, any ministry personal ministry opportunity. At the time, the prayer room was at the Pioneer Place, so we had the prayer board up, so you could put prayer requests up there. Every prayer request, every personal ministry, I always had somebody pray for me that the Lord would give me wisdom in being a godly parent and in raising up my children to love Him. And like I said, I did it out of desperation. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to have a kid. I don't know what I'm doing. But I look back on it, and the Lord has been so faithful. He has been so faithful to just give me those little downloads, sometimes without me even realizing. And so we have, these great kids. Josiah is just taking off with it. And so I encourage parents to keep that prayer in your hearts. And then another one, too, that just occurred to me the other day, again, in thinking about, different children and them needing different pieces, is praying, Lord, equip me with the fullness of the knowledge and wisdom that I will need in order to lead this child to you. As I was thinking about the Lord calling me to be Josiah's father, and calling me to be Ezra's father, and calling me to be Avi's father, I need different revelation for each of them. And so I encourage us to pray, that's my prayer, Lord, give me revelation for Josiah. And then Lord, give me revelation for Ezra. And Lord, give me revelation for Avi. I've gone a little long, and I apologize. I told Amy, I said, well, the good news is I got my notes done. The bad news is I don't know how long it's going to go. But so I went a little long, and I apologize. Amy and I are blessed to be a part of this congregation. We're blessed to be friends with all of you. We're blessed to help teach your children, or blessed to help equip you to do it. We pray for y'all that you just get the Father's heart for Him, for yourself, and for your children, and just that Malachi 4, just turn our hearts to them, and they'll turn their hearts to us.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.